The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
I'd like to spend a little time this evening on three mitzvahs in particular. One is mentioned in Mishpatim Perichov Beis, Pasuk Chof. Beger leiseine veleisil chotzenu. Ki gerim heisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. You shall not afflict the ger, you shall not harm him, veleisil chotzenu. Because you were gerim, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Rashi explains, leiseine, this means einoz devorim. You shall not harm him with words. The stranger, the convert, you shall not harm with words. Leisil chotzenu b'gzeilis momen. You shall not harm in material ways, by cheating him, or taking money from him, oppressing him, and so forth. Ki gerim ayisim, af einosoi, afu yochol einoscho, v'lei meloch, af atem migerim bot. Mum sheboch, al tomer, al teima lechavrocho. Because you also were strangers, you shouldn't do something to someone where you come from a similar situation. In Egypt you were strangers, and he can turn around and tell you that you also was a stranger. A ger is an odom shleinelet beis medina lebar medinas acheres lo gursham. What is a ger? That's someone that does not live in your own medina, does not live in your own place. He came from a strange land. So this is referring specifically to the ger, to the convert. In a little further, in Perachov Gimel, posuk tes. The Torah again states, "V'ger leisilchotz, you shall not afflict the stranger." V'atem yedatim es nefesh ager ki gerim eyisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because the soul of the ger, of the stranger, is one which is very downtrodden, and you should be aware of the situation because you yourself were strangers in the land of Egypt. The Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia and Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, the Mishnah first says, Kishem she'eino b'mekach u'memkar, kach eino b'dvorim. Just like you can harm someone through mekach u'memkar in business, so can you harm someone with words. And then the Torah, the Gemara, and the Mishnah tells us in general the laws referring to this. And then it says in particular to the ger, im hu ben gerim layem alei zechor ma'is avasecho. If someone is a son of a ger, you shall not tell him, remember what your fathers were. Shnemar, as it states, v'ger leiseine v'leisil chotzeno, that you shall not afflict the ger, the stranger. The Gemara continues by saying, im hayo ger ubol ilmei teira. If there's a convert, and now he wants to come and study Torah, al yema alei, you shouldn't say to him, pesho achal nevelus utreifish kotzim v'ramoshim, that the mouth that has eaten before the nevelis and trefis, all types of food which one is not permitted to eat, and you're coming now to study Torah which was given from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this you're not allowed to say. Then the Gemara and Afnun Tes on the base states, Tonu Rabbonim, the rabbis learned, Ama'anes Ager Eva Bishle Shalavim. Someone who afflicts the convert, he transgresses three negative commandments. Ba'aleichatzai, and someone who afflicts him, this is if he afflicts him with words. If he afflicts him materially, then he transgresses another three commandments. The Ksiva, as it states, V'ger Leiseina, Bechiyogo itcho ger bi'artzechem leiseinu esai, veleiseinu ish es amisai, veger bechlal amisai. There are two commandments which specifically refer to the stranger. And then there's one command that refers to all of Israel, that you're not allowed to harm any member of Israel. And the ger, the convert, is also included in that. Therefore, you would transgress three negative commandments. And the same in regards to if you afflict them in a material way. There are two commandments that specifically refer to the ger, a third commandment which applies to all of Israel. And therefore, you would transgress three negative commandments also. Tanya Reb Lezer HaGodol Eimer. The great Reb Lezer said, Mipnei Mai Hiziru Teire Belamed Vov Mekemes V'Amri Lo B'Mem Vov Mekemes Beger. That we find that the Torah has cautioned us on how to conduct ourselves with the ger in 26 places. And some say in 46 places. That either in 36 or 46. In either 36 or 46 places in the Torah. The Torah has specifically cautioned us on how to deal, how to conduct ourselves with the stranger. Why? Mipnei shesurei ra. Because he has a nature coming from where he did. He has a nature that's a weak nature. And if we afflict him, it will affect him even more than it will any other Jew. And also it could also perhaps cause him to break down and to run away from Torah, to run away from Yiddishkeit. Therefore the Torah cautioned us in 36 or 46 places. My diksiva geleisene veleisel chatzenu ki gerem a yisem beres mitzrayim v'rv nosen aimer mum sheboch al teimel lechabrecho. That the Torah is telling us that a mum, an imperfection that you possess, you shall not use this as an accusation against another party. And you also were Gerim. You also were in Eretz Mitzrayim. You were in Egypt where you were strangers and you had to come on to other people. You had to come on to the Rachamim and the Chesed of other people. Therefore, you must bear this in mind when you're dealing with the Ger. So here we see very clearly that aside from the mitzvahs of the Torah and how one Jew should deal with a fellow Jew, there are particular mitzvahs in the Torah how one must deal with the ger, with the convert. And the fact is, like the Torah, like the Gemara brings here, many negative commandments and many positive commandments. Now these are brought, these commandments are brought in the Rambam. Halacha Tes Vov and Tes Zayin brings la halacha kol ha-ma'anias ha-ger bein b'momen bein b'dvorim. Whoever afflicts the convert, whether it's in a material way or whether it's just with words, transgresses three negative commandments, and then he itemizes them. V'chein im lochatzoi. And the same thing if he afflicts him now in a material manner, he transgresses three negative commandments. And then the Rambam goes into the general discussion that to afflict someone with words is even greater than to afflict someone in a material matter, in a material manner. So here the Rambam brings these specific mitzvahs. In addition to what's written in our parsha, we find another mitzvah which deals with the ger, and this is a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment. In Sefer Dvorim, Parshas Ekev, the Torah tells us This is in Dvorim Yud, Posuk Yud Tes. Va'aftem es ha-ger, ki gerim ha-yisem beres Mitzroy. You shall love the ger, because you were also converts, you were also strangers in Eretz Mitzrayim. Now here the Torah tells us this as a mitzvah, as a positive commandment, not as a negative commandment, but as a positive commandment. And the psukim that refer before state, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokei Elokim V'Adonai Adonim, the Lord your God, He is the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords. He is great and he is strong, he is fearful, and he fears no person, and he accepts bribery from no one. He does judgment with the orphan and the widow, and he loves the convert, to give him panoso, to give him sustenance, bread, and clothing. And therefore you shall love the ger. So here the Torah is giving us a little background that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the ger. Since he loves the ger, the stranger, you also are obligated to do so. Since he takes care of him, you also are obligated to do so. And the Gemara, which we'll come to soon on this, the Gemara says that here we see that at the time of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to Hashem as the strongest of all forces in the world, he is the greatest of all of the gods, at the same time, he takes care of everyone, even the widow, the orphan, and the ger, the downtrodden ones. So here we have a mitzvah asei, a positive commandment. And this is also brought in the Rambam, in Hilchos Deos. Rambam and Perek Vov. Of Hilchos Deos Halacha Dalet writes, Avas Ager Shebo V'Nichnas Tachas Kanfi Ashchino Shtei Mitzvos Esse. To love the stranger which has come to take refuge under the wings of the Almighty. This is two. These are two mitzvahs. I say two positive commandments. Achas mipnei shu bechlareim. One is because he's like any other Jew. And the Rambam in the previous mitzvah wrote that there's a mitzvah v'yachta l'reacha kameicha. There's a mitzvah that you must love every Jew. Secondly, achas mipnei shu ger, because he's a stranger. Ba'teira omro v'yachtem es ager, and the Torah has stated that you shall love the ger, the stranger. Tziva al avas ager kemei shetziva al avas atzmei shenema ve'aftes Hashem alekecho. Now here the Chazal bring out how great the mitzvah is to love a ger, because in the same expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to love him, ve'aftes Hashem alekecho, you shall love the Lord your God, he has commanded us to love the ger, the convert. The same love that we must have for Hashem, he said that we must have for the stranger. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzma Ehev Gerim. The Almighty Himself has a love for the strangers. As it states, Shneamar Ehev Ger, that He loves the strangers. So we have three negative commandments and a positive commandment. All of these mitzvahs are brought in the Sefer Chinuch. But in particular, this last mitzvah that we just mentioned. In Mitzvah's essay, Tof Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Shenitztavinu le'ov hagerim, that we are commanded to love the stranger. Klema, this means shenizor shelele tzara yisom b'shum dover. You must be careful not to cause them any anguish in any way. Avonase lehem teva, but to do goodness to them. V'nigmal itom chesed kfi aroi v'yecheles, and to do chesed, to do loving kindness with them in accordance to one's capability. And in this the Torah tells us, v'ahavtem es ager. V'iflakto ha'avo, v'aflogas ha'avo shi'ifligu behem ad sho'omru. And so far did the Torah go in commanding us in this love of the stranger, shehish v'akosu v'avosim la'avos ha'mokom, that the Torah uses the same expression towards the stranger as it's used towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This is how far the mitzvah of avas hager, the love of a stranger, goes. Va'ever aleha, someone who transgresses this mitzvah, umetzara eson, causes them anguish, o shemisrael ba'atzoloson, or ba'atzolos mamainam, or he's in a position to do something good for them, or he's in a position to do something good for his possessions, and he's a little slow or sluggish or a little lazy in doing this because he feels, after all, this is not a real Jew, he's only a ger, o shemekel bechveidam misad shem gerim, or for example, he does not give him the honor that he should give a person, because he feels, look at, he's a second class Jew. And they have no one to help them. So he has transgressed this mitzvah. And the punishment is very great for this. Because we see that the Torah has cautioned us on this in many, many places. In 36 places in the Torah, or in 46 places of the Torah. Then the Chinuch says that from this mitzvah we can learn a dvar musar, from this mitzvah we can learn something else. From this wonderful mitzvah that we see that the Torah went so far that we're obligated to treat a stranger in the community, not as a second class Jew, but as a first class Jew. With no exception, no distinction. So he says, from here, from this great mitzvah, we can learn something else. How much we're obligated l'rachim al kol odom shu b'ir shein eretz malatatei u'mokim mishpoches aveisov. How much we are obligated to be marachim, to be merciful and compassionate to a stranger, to a Jew that's a stranger in town. If the Torah said that a convert, since he's a stranger, we are obligated to conduct ourselves in this manner. So how much more so, when, or at least as much, when a Jew comes to our city and he's a stranger, and this is not the place of his birth, and this is not the place of his family. And when we find that he's alone, we should not pass him by. And he's far away from anyone that he knows. How much we are also obligated to be compassionate towards such a situation. And if someone is, then he is zeche to the rachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is marachim, he is compassionate and merciful to all those in such a situation. Especially, a Jew should be conscious of this, the Chinuch writes. Because the Torah reminds us that we were in a position where we would have had great sorrows, if not from the land that we were living in. When we came down to Egypt, in the time of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef, we were strangers in that land. And they treated us very well. They gave us Goshen, which was a very fertile area of Egypt. And they allowed Yosef to sustain us and to take care of us. And we would have had great sorrow if not for this. So therefore the Torah demands from us also that anyone in a similar situation, we must also conduct ourselves accordingly. So this is a mitzvah in regards to the gerim, who is one particular class of a downtrodden person. Incidentally, there's a question lahalocha for how long is someone considered a ger. What about his children? Someone converts, and now he has children, and the children are born Jewish. So do we treat them as a Jew, or do we treat them as a converted Jew? This means, are we also obligated to be so careful with them, even more careful than any other Jew? We find here there's an obligation, besides being careful with the honor of every Jew, more so we are with the we're obligated with the stranger. So the Minchas Chinuch in that mitzvah, his opinion is that for many generations, we are obligated to deal with the ger accordingly, even though now it's many generations since his father converted. But as long as he's conscious of it, as long as he feels that he's a stranger, then he's classified in regards to this halacha as the ger, and the Torah has accorded him special treatment. This is one mitzvah that's mentioned here. Another mitzvah that's mentioned right afterwards in Parshas Mishpatim. And also it's of a similar vein. This is Pasuk Chof Aleph. Kol almona v'yosem leis anun. You shall not afflict any widow or an orphan. Im'ane sane esai, if you shall afflict them, kimsok yitzak elai, and they will cry to me, shemaya eshmatzak osai. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Almighty says, I will listen to their cries. V'chora api, and I will become very angry. V'harakti eschem v'chorev, and I shall kill you with a sword. And your wives will be widows, and your sons will be orphans. Rachmanu Litzlan. Now Rashi writes, what does it mean that you should not afflict the almona, the widow, and the orphan? Hu adin lechol odom, ela shedibar akose behevel, v'ishem tashu shikeach v'dove motzui l'aneisam. This refers to every Jew. You're not allowed to afflict any Jew. Except, who do people usually afflict? They afflict those that they can bully. And it's easier to afflict an orphan or a widow. Therefore, the Torah is speaking in a case that more often happens. Now, from Rashi, it would seem that this is not a specific mitzvah essay, but rather this is included in a general mitzvah essay that we're not allowed to afflict or oppress any Jew. As we'll see later on from the Rambam learns this is a specific mitzvah essay, referring specifically to the orphan and to the widow. What does it mean that if they cry out to Hashem, then Hashem will bring a very severe punishment on the oppressor? And his wife, the Torah says that he will kill the oppressor, and their wives will be widows and their sons will be orphans. So in this Rashi brings from Chazal that if he kills the oppressors, I know their wives will be widows, and I know their sons will be orphans. So what is the Torah telling us this for? So the punishment goes even further. That the Almighty says that I will kill the oppressor in such a way that his wife will be a widow and the sons will be orphans. That his wife will remain a widow, Rahman al-Islam. She won't be able to remarry. And how is that? He will be killed in such a way that it will be difficult to clarify if he's dead or not. For example, he'll go away and not come back. Then we don't know. Where is he? And this is called a guna. And the wife, therefore, will not be able to remarry. And I will kill him in such a way that his sons will be orphans forever. How is this? That at least when someone is an orphan, many times financially they can put themselves on their feet because they inherit the estate of the father. Here he will go away and not come back, and the estate will be tied up. They will not let the children inherit because we don't know if he's dead or not. So they will be continual orphans. It's a very, very harsh punishment. Very harsh punishment. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. This mitzvah The Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos, and the Rambam clearly says that this is a specific mitzvah. He brings it in Perek Vav, Halacha Yud, and at the beginning of the Hilchos Deos he writes that there are he's going to discuss so many mitzvahs here, he numbers them, and in it he writes Shalei La'anois Umlolim, that there's a specific mitzvah that besides not being allowed to afflict any Jew, there's a specific prohibition not to afflict the Umlolim. Umlolim are the oppressed. And if you do afflict the oppressed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a specific punishment on this. This he writes in Halacha Yud Chayev Odom Lizoyer BeYisomim VeAlmonos. A person is cautioned to be careful with the honor and the welfare of the orphans and of the widows. Mivnei Shenafshon Shfeilo LeMa'ed, because their soul is very downtrodden. Verucham Nemucha, and their spirit is broken. Maybe you'll say that this refers only to those who are very poor. See? No, we are not speaking about poor people. If they are poor, then doubly so. But afilu shein bale momen, even if they are very wealthy. Afilu amanose shel melech, the Gemara says. Even the widow of the king of Israel. Even a widow of a king. Also is a broken spirit. Vayesemov, and even the orphans of the king. Muzorin ono alehan, we are commanded. We are cautioned on how we must deal with them. Shenema kol almona v'yosem leisanum. The Pasuk says, kol almona, every widow and every orphan you shall not afflict. V'heyach noagin imohem. So how must we conduct ourselves with them? L'yedaber aleihem el rakes. When you speak with them, you must speak softly. L'yinog behen el amin hakoved. When you deal with them, you must be very careful to deal with them with utmost of honor. L'yachiv gufem ba'aveira v'libam v'dvorim koshim. By no means should you cause, if they are working for you, to give them extra heavy work or to insult them. We are required to care for their money, their possessions, more than our own money. So this reason that the Bezdin, the Gemara says, Bezdin is Avihem Shel Yisomim. The Bezdin was given the both the authority and the responsibility to be the fathers of the Yisomim, the fathers of the orphans. And many laws were enacted by the Beis Din HaGodol, by the great courts of Israel, to protect the orphans. For example, there was a law that if you come with a document proving that this man owes you money, the document is sufficient to collect. If it's a legal document and it's signed with eidus, with witnesses, there's a law that Abba Ligvais Minichsi Yisaimim and Agave El Mishfur. If you come with such a document to the estate of orphans, it's not sufficient. You need an oath also. Or, for example, the Bezdin was authorized to be Maimed Apotropis, an overseer who would deal with all of the Nichsi Yisaimim, all of the possessions of the Yisaimim. Many, many laws were enacted in the favor of the orphans. In all types of transactions, it was Yodim al Yaina that the law would always be tilted in their favor when it came to transactions, in order to guarantee that they would not be taken advantage of. Kol amaknitin o machison, a hichiv lohen, a rode behen, whoever angers or insults or hurts or oppresses them or causes them to lose money, transgresses a negative commandment. Kolshkein, and even how much more so, amaka isaimu makalal on someone who strikes them or curses them. And this negative commandment, even though there is no punishment that the bezdina, that our courts can give for it, hare einchem afurish b'teira. But Rambam says, but the onish, the punishment is explicit in the Torah, as it states, v'chora api v'harakti eskem b'chorev. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will become angry and I will kill the oppressors with a sword. Bris koras lahen misho omar v'haya ilum. That the one who has said, let the world be, has established a covenant. She calls man shem tseyaki mechomas, that whenever they cry out, because they are oppressed, heim ne'onim, they are answered. As it states, kim tzok yitzak elai shemaya eshma tzakosai, that they will cry to me, and then I will listen. Why did the Almighty deal out such a harsh punishment for this? So one of the reasons given, I believe it's in the Sefer Achinuch, is because someone who is not compassionate with these type of people, so this is someone who has completely lost all sense of compassion, all sense of rachamim. Because we are obligated to be marachim, to have rachamim on every individual. If someone will not have rachamim, compassion, on the widow or on the orphans or on the oppressed, then he has no compassion. And if he has no compassion, then the Almighty withdraws his compassion from him. States that amarachim al kol b'riyosov, Kodesh Baruch Hu is compassionate towards all of his creations. But if a Jew can withdraw himself from all type of compassion, then the Almighty does also so. And therefore he says that his wife, his children will also be the downtrodden. They will be the widows and the orphans. Then the Rambam continues, Bamed vorim amurim. That's bisman she'ino ayson tzorech atzmai. This all applies only when you afflict them for your own good. But what happens if you are, if you deal toughly with them for their own good? For example, for example, if you're teaching the son Torah, or if you're teaching him a profession, and you have to be strict with him, you have to be demanding with him, or for example, you see he's going in the wrong way, then you're allowed, because this is for his own good. But even so, you must be careful how you do it. You must not do it in the way you treat others in this manner. If you have another student and you want to be tough with him, there has to be distinction. You must deal with him with nachas uberachmim gedolim, with great compassion, bekoveg, and with great honor. Shnemar ki Hashem yoriv rivam, because it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight their fights. Echad yosem me'av, echad yosem me'em. Who is an orphan? It does not have to be an orphan from both parents. Even an orphan from one parent. Even someone who has a father but has no mother, or has a mother but has no father, is classified as an orphan. V'ad eid mosai nikroim yisayim linyinze. And for how long are they called orphans? As long as they need someone to care for them, they are called orphans. Once they reach the adulthood, where they can take care of all of their needs themselves, and they need no one to lean on or to rely on, then they are no longer in the category of orphans. But until then, they are. So we see that this is also, these mitzvahs are very relevant, because we come into contact all the time with the stranger, we come into contact with the orphan and with the widow, and these are very severe mitzvahs. The fact is, we see that the punishments for these mitzvahs in some ways are much severer than other mitzvahs in the Torah. Therefore we must be very careful when we deal in these things. In regards to this particular mitzvah, this also has a relevance to Hilchos Yontif. What is the relevance? The Rambam brings in Sefer Devarim, the Torah tells us that when you are misameach on Yontif, you rejoice on Yontif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you should be masameach the Almona, the Ger, the Yosem, the Levi, that you should also on Yontif be misameach these people. So the Rambam brings in Hilchos Yontif Perek Vov Halacha Tes Zayin, Kishem she mitzvah lechabit Shabbos ula ango, just as it's a mitzvah to honor Shabbos and to rejoice on it, and one should enjoy himself. Kach kol yomim tayvim. So is it a mitzvah on all yomim tayvim. Shneamar likdash Hashem mechubet v'chol yomim tayvim neamar behen mikro kodesh. Shiva shemei haPesach, shmeine shemei haChag, im shar yomim tayvim, kulam asurim behespid v'tainis, v'chayev odem liyos ben sameach v'tuv lev. During the days of Pesach, the days of Sukkot, Yom Tovim, a person is obligated to rejoice and to be of good heart. He, his children, his wife, his grandchildren, all of those who are around him. As it states, V'somachto b'chagecho. The mitzvah says, a positive commandment, you shall rejoice on your Yom Tov, on your holiday. Then the Rambam writes, then the Rambam goes through each one, how, what is the proper way to be mesameach. For example, k'tanim neisnim kloyis egoizim donis. Everyone you must rejoice in the proper manner with. The k'tanim, for the children, you should buy them nuts and sweets. Buy them nice things that they'll enjoy. Hanoshim, the women, keina lehem begodim v'takshtitim noyim k'fim emeinai. The women, you shall buy garments, clothing, ornaments and so forth, in accordance to one's capabilities. Ba'anoshim, eichlin bosa v'sheisin yayin. And the men, they eat meat and drink wine. Shein simchel v'bosa v'in simchel v'yayin. Then the Rambam writes, u'keshu eichel v'sheisa. When he's eating on Yom Tov and he's drinking on Yom Tov and he's fulfilling this mitzvah, chayev is obligated la'achil, to also to feed the ger, the stranger, the yosim, the orphan, and the almono, the widow, im sharo anim ho amlulim, with the other oppressed people, the poor and the other oppressed. Avomish nail dalsis chatzere, but someone who closes the doors to his courtyards, and he eats and he drinks, he and his sons and his wife, and he does not bring in the poor or the merry nefesh, those who are bitter, einzu simchas mitzvah, no longer is it a simchas mitzvah. Someone can make the greatest Suddish Yom Tov. Incidentally, this is a halacha on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. See, this is brought only in Hilchos Yom Tov. Someone can make the greatest, I mean, by all means, it's a mitzvah to bring in others on Shabbos. But this particular halacha, where if someone makes the greatest Suddish Yom Tov, but he shuts his gates and he closes out the others who are downtrodden, who are poor, who are bitter, then no longer is it a simchas mitzvah. No longer is it a simcha of a mitzvah. El a simchas kreisa. It becomes a simcha of one stomach, the Rambam writes. It's a simcha of one stomach. No longer is it a simcha of mitzvah jantiv. Va'al eilu ne'mar zivcheihem kelechem einim lehem koleichla v'yitmuki lachman nafshichem. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I take this whole simcha and throw it back at you. V'simcha kezu keleinu lehem. The simcha becomes disgraceful. Shenema v'zorisi perish al penechem perish chagechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what you have done on your Yom Tov, I throw back at you. It becomes a disgrace to the person. Here he's rejoicing on the Yom Tov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he shuts his gates and he does not share it with the umlolim, with those who need it. Now, one other mitzvah that's brought also right here and also in this vein, and that is the next mitzvah, Pasachov Dalet, Im Kesef Talves Ami. If you lend to my nation money, Esa Oni Imoch, the poor that is with you, Leisiele Kinesha, you shall not oppress him. When you come to demand it back, you shall not oppress him, and Leisa Simun Olav Neshech, and you shall not charge him interest. Then also, if you take a security from him, and it's something that he needs at night, so you must return it at night. If he needs it during the day, return it at day. You must not put him in a position where he will come to cry to me, because I will listen to him. Now, firstly, it states im kesef talve, if you will lend. Rashi brings from the Medrash, Rabbi Shmuel Eimer kol im ve'im shebeteira reshus chutz migim uvzeachot mehem. Wherever it states in the Torah im, if, im usually means if or when, this is always optional. If you will do this, when you will do this, it's optional, except in three places where it's obligatory. This is one of them. So im kesef talve does not mean if you will lend, when you will lend, but it means you are obligated to lend. You are obligated to lend your fellow Jew money. This is a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment in the Torah. And as we will see, a very, very great mitzvah in the Torah. Then it states, Esa Oni, the poor. Imoch that is with you. So the Gemara in Bamatzia, and Afayin Aleph. The Gemara says that the mitzvah to lend is not only to the poor. The mitzvah to give tzedakah, that's only to the poor. There's no mitzvah of giving tzedakah to the wealthy. But the mitzvah of lending is not only to the poor. Because the wealthy also need money. There are many times when wealthy need money. Their money is tied up. They have to meet a certain obligation. They haven't the money now. Or they have a chance to make a very good investment. They don't have the money. So the mitzvah to lend is not only to the poor, but it's also to the wealthy. Except, so why does the Torah say so oni? Because if it's a question between the poor and the wealthy, the poor must come first. But there's a mitzvah to lend to the wealthy also. Imoch, why does it say imoch with you? Because first must come those who are close to you. Those in your family first. Those who live in your city first. And then those who are far away. Losia lekinesha, you must not oppress him. When it comes to taking the money back, you must be careful. And we'll see this in detail. Leisa simonol of neshech, and you shall not charge him ribis, interest. It's interesting. The word interest in the Torah is called neshech. Neshech means the bite. It's a bite. And neshech also comes from the same letter as a serpent, nochosh. And Rashi brings here ribis shehu kineshichas nochosh. Interest is like the bite of a serpent. What's the bite of a serpent? When a serpent bites, superficially it does not seem dangerous. A lion comes, a bear comes. Alright, you know the way a wolf, you know the way they bite and they tear, it's dangerous. But a serpent makes a very small bite. Fact is, many times it's even difficult to find the bite of a serpent. Many times you have to look and you only see a few pinholes. So a serpent makes a very small bite. Yet it's the serpent's bite that's more dangerous than every bite. It starts just with a very small bite. And it also, the serpent, many animals, they go for the throat. They go for the vital organs. The serpent goes for the foot. So it's not the vital organ. So it looks like a very small bite in a very far away place, not serious. And he doesn't even feel it right away. And then all of a sudden, immediately, all of a sudden it explodes. And it swells. And it rushes to his head. Until eventually it will kill the person. So is it with interest. The beginning, it seems very small. And he doesn't recognize it. Doesn't realize it. Until he can go and go and go and take away his money. And the Torah commanded us that we must not do this. We must not lend money with ribis. Now this mitzvah of lending money that Amram brings in Hilchas Milva Veleiva, at the beginning of Hilchas Milva Veleiva, Hilchas Malva Veleiva, a mitzvah's essay lahalvis laoni vamoch, to lend. Mitzvah's essay lahalvis lani Israel, It's a positive commandment to lend to the poor. Shememar im kesev talves ami es ha'oni imoch. That you should lend to my nation, to the poor. Yochel rishus. Is this something which is optional? Talmud lemar havi tavitenu. In another place in the Torah says, no, you must lend. So it's obligatory. Then the Rambam writes, u'mitzvah zu gedele min hatzdokah. This mitzvah is greater than tzedakah to the poor. Because the poor, they have come to the level where they have to ask for charity. But here, by lending, you can save a person from coming to the level of having to ask for charity. He writes, this is greater than tzedakah. Now this is quite a statement. Perek Yud. The Rambam writes, Chayovin onu leizore b'mitzvah tzedakah yeser mikol mitzvah esei. That a Jew is obligated to be careful with the mitzvah of tzedakah, of charity, more than every other mitzvah in the Torah. Sha'at tzedakah simen letzadik zera Avraham Avinu. A charitable person, this is a sign that he's from the seed of Avraham Avinu. Shnemar ki yadativ leman ashi yitzav izbonav lasi tzedakah. The throne of Israel and the throne of truth only come through tzedakah, and Israel is redeemed only through tzedakah. And anyone who does not, who closes his eyes from tzedakah, not give tzedakah, is called a rosho, is called a chayter, and so forth. So here the Rambam writes that there is no mitzvah that a Jew has to be more careful with than that of charity. And then when it comes to lending, he says that this mitzvah is greater than tzedakah. Really, it's somewhat contradictory, because there he says you must be more careful on that than any other mitzvah, and he says this mitzvah is greater. It could be that other mitzvahs are greater, but we must be more careful with this one. But at any rate, from here we can see what kind of mitzvah it is to lend money. He says this is even greater than tzedakah. And the Torah was very, 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 very much against someone who does not lend. As it states, V'roi necho bochicho ebyen. Also, lodem laris atzmu lebalcheve bizman shideh sheinle. A person is not allowed to appear before the debtor when he knows he doesn't have the money to pay. And even to walk by him, if he knows that this will upset him, or this will shame him. And surely he's not allowed to come and claim his money when he knows that he doesn't have it. But on the other hand, the one who borrows, he also must not withhold money if he has it. And someone who borrows must be very careful what he does with his money. He must not squander it, in order that when it comes time to return it, he won't be able to, even if the lender is very wealthy. If someone borrows money from a wealthy man and he squanders it, and he, because of this he doesn't have what to pay, then he's a rosher. He's an evil person. That the money which belongs to your friend must be as dear to you as your own money. And then there are many laws in regards to milva, which we don't have time to go into this evening, but from here we see how great this mitzvah is, this mitzvah of lending. Now these three mitzvahs that we spoke of this evening, how to conduct oneself with a stranger and how to conduct oneself with the widow and with the orphan, or the others who are downtrodden, or to lend money to those who need it. We see that the Torah has commanded from us how to deal with people who are umloli, who are in need. And we see the Torah was very severe with this. Many, many mitzvahs, positive commandments, negative commandments. One place, 36 places or 46 places, the Torah writes of the ger. And the punishments, the reward is so great that here one of these mitzvahs, the Rambam says, is greater even in tzedakah. And Stocker, he says, is greater than all of the other. A Jew must be more careful with this than any other mitzvah. And on the other hand, the punishments are very great for the transgression of these mitzvahs. Now, what are the reasons for these? So one reason, which is evident, what we mentioned before, because the mitzvah of chesed and rachamim, the qualities of chesed and rachamim, these are qualities which must be embedded in the Jew. These are from the greatest qualities of the Almighty. And we are commanded to emulate His ways. That we must walk in His ways. He has loving kindness, you must have loving kindness. He is compassionate, you must be compassionate. He created the world with chesed, you also must have chesed. If a Jew doesn't have this, he is not following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, we find that these were particular midas, particular qualities in Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says, "Kol mi she'ein lei." Whoever does not have Hani Gimel Simonim, these three signs, whoever is not a Gemel Chesed, does not do Chesed, or is not a Rachmonim, he does not have mercy or compassion, or is not Baishonim, he is not someone who is humble, then these are Simonim, the Gemara says, these are signs that he's not from Zer Avraham, he's not from the seed of Abraham. Because these were the midos, these were the qualities of Abraham. And Avraham was the cornerstone of Klal Yisrael. He was the cornerstone. And all of the qualities that we have, they go back to him, to Avraham Avinu. He was the Machnis Orech, the one who brought in the Orchim. He was the Megayer Hagerim, the one who brought in all of the strangers. He went around to all of the people to teach them the word of Hashem. He came to fight even for the evil people, for Sodom and Amorah, and so forth and so forth. So these are qualities that a Jew must have. And these are qualities even that one Jew must have towards a second Jew. How much more so than towards a Jew that's in need? Like the person who's a stranger, he has no home, he has no family in this place. Or he's in need of money. Or he's, or she is the widow, or he is an orphan. And if he cannot, in such an instance, have these qualities, then he completely tears from his heart the quality of chesed and achamim. It's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, and I react the same way. And on the other hand, someone who does have these qualities, so he is emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the reward is very great. The Chofetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Avos Chesed, Chofetz Chaim Zochein Livracha wrote an entire Sefer on Chesed. He writes that when a person needs money and he comes to borrow money from you and you give it to him, he pays it back, he comes again. You give it to him, he pays it back, he comes again. You become impatient with him. So he says, on that, there's two things. Firstly, do you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be impatient with you? Every day you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you ask for something? Every day and every minute of the day, we need from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need food and we need clothing and we need refuah shleima and we need air to breathe. So would you like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say, how many times you have to come to me? And secondly, he says, you don't understand what the mitzvah is. In your store or in your business, if a person would come and give you business and you would make a profit, then the next day he'd come again, make another profit, the next day he'd come again, would you tell him, stop bothering me so much? He says, you're making a profit on the person, he's not making the profit on you. With these mitzvahs you're being zeichet ha'ilam abor, countless wealth. So this is the attitude that a Jew must have. There's another reason though. It's an additional reason for these mitzvahs. And this is deeper. Besides the chesed and the rachamim. And this is brought in the Maral Miprag in his Nesiv HaTzoko. Perek Vav, where he deals with the mitzvah of lending, where he brings that the Medrash brings on this mitzvah, Bo or a kol b'riyosef shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu loving ze mizeh. The reason why the Jew is commanded to lend one to another, he asks a very interesting question. We're commanded to lend to the Jew. We're commanded to lend to the Jew without interest. Yet, to lend to the non-Jew, we're permitted with interest. To steal from the non-Jew, we're not allowed. But we can lend to him with interest. So there's nothing wrong with interest. If there would be something, then we wouldn't be allowed to lend with to interest with the non-Jew either. So then why are we commanded not to lend to the Jew with interest? And also, the non-Jew, if he steals, the punishment is a very harsh punishment. If he lends with interest, the non-Jew, there's no punishment. One of his commands is not to lend without interest. And interest is something that if I steal from a person, so I'm taking it from him, forcefully, without his knowledge. But if he gives me interest, he's doing it with knowledgeably. He's doing it willfully. So what is this mitzvah? That we're obligated to lend and without interest. So the Medrash brings, Bo or a kol b'yosef shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lovin ze mizeh. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, that he made, they all borrow one from the other. Hayem leva min ha'layla va'layla min ha'yom. The day borrows from the night, and the night borrows from the day. We see that a little daylight always goes into the boundaries of the night, and the night seeps into the boundaries of the day. Halalavona loeva min akechovim, akechovim min halavona. The moon borrows a little light from the stars. The stars borrow a little light from the moon. Kishakorish Baruch Hu raitze einam yoitzim. Ha'or laeva min ha'shemesh ve'ha'shemesh min ha'or. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a world where each thing borrows a little from the other. And why was this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And everything in the world all belongs to His oneness. If there was something that was a complete unit by itself, then it would have nothing to do with something else. Another complete unit. It's because every part of the world is only a part. It's not a complete independent unit, but is only a faction of one entire oneness. Therefore, each one comes to the next. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or if there would be independent, autonomous units, then it would not have to come on to something else. But because everything is only partial, and it's all part of one complete picture, therefore, everything blends in with everything else. If a man makes one painting, it all blends in together. If he makes separate paintings, then one has nothing to do with the other. And this shows the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows us that it all leads back to His Achdus, His oneness. And He is the Odin HaDonim. He is the Lord, the God of all of the gods, the power over all powers. And Klal Yisrael represents this Achdus. Mi ki amcho Yisrael, who is like the nation of Israel? Goy echod ba'oretz. It's one nation. Represents the singleness, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah and Klal Yisrael is one. And therefore, since Klal Yisrael is one, then they all must blend in together. If each one would be separate from another one, they would be autonomous. But being that they are all part of one, then they all must blend into another. Therefore, it's a mitzvah that one should lend to the other. One should give to the other. And this is why it's a mitzvah to lend not only to the poor, but even to the wealthy. Because they are all part of one nation which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the mitzvah, the act of ribis, the act of interest, is just the opposite of that of lending. Why? Because when you give from your money to someone else, you are giving him parnoso. You are giving him life, the Torah tells us. You are like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu rains down parnoso. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives life to people. If I will give money to someone, and that person can take that money and buy food and clothing and parnoso, so I am like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm giving life to the person. He says, what is great about giving money? If you charge interest, you are not giving to him. Not only you are not giving to him, but you are taking from him. Not only are you not giving to him in an act that should be an act of life-giving, but you are destroying him. The ribis the Torah calls neshech. It's the bite of a serpent. In an act that should be giving him life, you are taking life from him. Just like the serpent that was the first one that brought death to the entire world. It was the Avera, the hate of the serpent, that because of him death came to the world. And when you take the interest from the other Jew, you're not giving him life, you're not giving him money, but you're taking his life from him. It starts small and eventually it destroys him. And that's the opposite, where one must come on, one must give to the other. Each one must come on to the other one, because each one is part of one unit, one entity. One Jew then divorces himself from the other to destroy him. And this is why the Torah forbade by Jews that are one nation are not allowed to extract interest one from the other. Very interesting that we find that the Torah says, not in this parsha, but in another parsha, that you shall not take interest. Kaspecha loisitein loi ben neshech. Ani Hashem alakechem, asher oitzesi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, loseis lochem es eretz Kenan, liyais lochem lelekim. Your money you shall not lend with interest, because I am the Lord your God that has taken you out of Egypt to give you Eretz Yisrael. I am the Lord your God. Now what does interest have to do with Egypt? I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Egypt to give you Eretz Yisrael. What does it have to do? The Gemara makes a drosha from this. We see that it was sufficient to be taken out of Egypt for this mitzvah alone. But what does it have to do with it? So the Maral said, we find that Israel was considered one nation only after going into Eretz Yisrael. Where do we find that? Because after they entered the borders of Eretz Yisrael, they crossed the Jordan. Then the Torah tells us about Har Evel and Har Grizim, that they went up on Har Evel, they went up on Har Grizim, and they pronounced the brochas and the klolas, and everybody answered Amen. And what was this for? Because each individual can take care of himself, they said. But what about? But why should we be responsible? The Torah explains that every Jew becomes responsible for the acts of another Jew. Every Jew becomes responsible for an act of another Jew if he can stop it. If he cannot, then he's free from this responsibility. And this is what took place on Har Grizim and Har Evel. That there they defined what responsibilities every Jew will have, and which is a responsibility which he cannot care for because it's concealed. And this is what is known as called Yisrael Arevim Zelazer. Everyone is an Orev for another one. And this means, from the word Orev, where they all mix together. This means that each one became responsible for everyone only after going into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the Torah said that I took you out of Egypt, I brought you into Eretz Yisrael, in order that you should be one nation. One nation must be like my world, that all of the creations, each one must come on to the next one. Each one must borrow from the next one. This is how my one nation should be. And therefore I forbid you to lend with interest, because this is the exact antithesis where you should be giving of your life to another life, instead you take from another life for yourself. This should bring strong relevance and cognizance to every Jew of how careful he must be in conducting himself with those who are in need, those who are in financial need, or those who are in emotional need, or those who might be in psychological need, or those who are in social need. But any Jew that's in need, the Torah specifically commanded us and cautioned us how great the obligation is and how great also the reward is for someone who fulfills this. We may be zeicha to fulfill all of these mitzvahs and to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.